Older people who remember what Earth is supposed to look like are beginning to protest the destruction of the Earth. This is Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock, and we're going to speak to a grandmother in British Columbia, Canada, who has been arrested and jailed several times, protesting the way the forests are being destroyed in British Columbia, Canada. I'm talking with Betty Krasick today. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, have I?
Krasick. But you're very, very close. Closer than most people come. So I let people do with it what they will.
Well, the old saying is, say anything you want about me, but spell my name right, and I'll bet a lot of people don't. And I'm going to right now, for those who are interested. It's K-R-A-W-C-Z-Y-K. Now, let's get down to the meat of the thing. The real reason we're speaking today for Radio EcoShock is that you have been a longstanding protester and direct action person for the forests here in British Columbia. And I think you're somewhat unique in that many of the people who are arrested are young people, but you're not so young, are you?
No, I'm 78 years old. And I use also what I do as a call to other elders. Let's come out and help these young people who are devoting their lives to trying to help save what's left of the ecosystems of this earth. And we can do this, those of us who are healthy in our advancing age and who have no pressing 9-to-5 jobs that we have to get to, and our young children that we have to get up early to take care of. I'm a writer, so I can write anywhere. I write in prison, out of prison, whatever I do, I write about it. And so I'm fortunate in this. But there's a lot of older people who could also come into the program of saving what's left of the life support systems of this earth in a more active way, in a more proactive way, and we can do this.
Kind of an elders movement, because we don't want to leave, those of us who have children and grandchildren, we don't want to leave a twisted and overheated and deforested earth to them, do we?
Absolutely, and that's what pushes me ahead, because I was raised, and those of my generation, we were raised in a time when everything was pure. The water was pure, the soil was pure, we were pure. Well, not really on that last one, but nevertheless, and it's really scary to see what's happening to the environment, to the water and the soil and the food we eat, to the pollutants that we ingest, to the diseases that are stalking us that have to do with foreign compounds that mimic estrogen, that pops, persistent pollutions that stay in the body. It's scary because the deforestation of British Columbia is certainly adding to the overall degradation of the earth, and particularly of British Columbia. And when the environment degrades, so does civil life. And we've seen this, and we are seeing it now in countries that have been turned arid countries who had been able to support food production now turned into deserts, which causes civil life to disintegrate and into chaos. So we're staring chaos, social chaos, in the face with the degradation of the environment.
I agree, and you have been willing, if necessary, to take direct action and even go to prison. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've spent over 2.5 years in the prisons and jails of British Columbia, and I don't begrudge this. In fact, I have another jail prison term staring me in the face, I'm sure, when my trial is over in January, the last of January, the first of February. My trial for my fence at Eagle Ridge Bluffs. The defense part of it begins on the 29th of January. The Crown has already presented its case against me, and my lawyer, Cameron Ward, who is a very able lawyer, quit the case in protest because Madam Justice Brown ruled that she would not hear arguments on abuse of process, which stems from being arrested by injunctions instead of under the criminal code.
Well, for those outside the province, I'd like to take just a second to recap. My understanding is that the government here decided, mainly for the Olympics, to build a new superhighway, and they were going to wipe out a beautiful piece of forest and put a giant concrete sort of ladder system of highways up the side of a mountain visible to all here, and that you stood in the road of doing this and set up a tent and were arrested protesting this unnecessary development as you saw it. Is that more or less the story?
Yes, that's correct. The first time I was arrested with 24 other people, and we went to court, but I was very dissatisfied with what went on in court because the Kiewit & Sons, who is the contractor, and this is a very dubious reputation attached to Kiewit and Sons in the States. They're an American contractor, and they have a very bad reputation, actually, in terms of the way they manipulate governments and the way they I won't belabor that. Nevertheless, they have the contract. And instead of going through having a tunnel, there's already an underground tunnel under Eagle Ridge Bluffs that is still in operation. And instead of making a highway through the tunnel, which would have disturbed nothing on top of Eagle Ridge Bluffs, they prefer to make a four-lane highway over the bluffs, which destroys the bluffs in essence. And primarily because British Properties wants to build something like, I think, 170 high-end homes on top of the Eagle Ridge, and that it's much easier and cheaper to make access roads to these homes if there's already an existing four-lane highway. So it's a money deal between the province, between Gordon Campbell and his people and British Properties, and it's one that the Minister of Transportation protects, and it's a development deal is what it is. It's clothed in the Olympics because this four-lane highway that will destroy this very rare, it's a rare ecosystem because it has so many environmental climates within it, including a real wetland, that they don't care. They
yes.
just really don't care. They want development and money. And that's what Eagle Ridge Bluffs four-lane highway is about. It's not even about the Olympics.
It's about the money.
It's about the money.
One of the things that I find disturbing about your case, and I know you have too. I've been looking at a couple of your online websites. We've got www.booksofbettyk.com, and we also have Betty's Early Edition .blogspot.com. And it sounds, this sounds almost like the war on terror or something, because the judge has charged you and will also try you, and yet you don't get to mount any defense from the sounds of it. How is that possible in today's justice system?
This is what another thing, aside from just pleading for the environment, I plead for the public for a fair shake in the justice system, which we don't get when we're arrested for trying to protect the environment. Because what happens is that instead of just arresting us, the police coming out and arresting us under the criminal code, they wait around until the company will go to court and get an injunction. Now, if we were just arrested for blocking a road, then we would have protections under the criminal code. The criminal code is actually a marvelous document. It protects people. It says when you're arrested for a certain crime, what's the minimum you can get in terms of punishment, or what's the maximum, how this is to be dealt with before the courts. But when you're charged under an injunction, you're only guilty of one thing, and that's contempt of court. And there is no defense for contempt of court. Absolutely no defense for contempt of court.
So you won't be allowed to present your case of your justifications or why this is important for the world?
The only way that I can do this is through the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And I can't even argue the injunction, the abuse of process through arrest by injunction, because the judge has already ruled she will not hear that argument. The only chance that I have in terms of presenting a case is to protest through the Charter the ways in which the Crown raises civil, and the court raises civil contempt of court to criminal contempt of court. And that's what I'm being accused of, is criminal contempt of court. Now, the way there are several steps to this being raised, and you probably don't have time for me to go into them, but I can only defend this under the Charter, that this I'm also defending Section 2A of the Charter, which is I have a right to practice freedom of conscience. And I'm leaning heavily on this for protection. And I have marvelous witnesses who will testify on the stand that I am a person who has habitually tried to seek the guidance of my conscience. We'll see how that goes in court.
And that's around January 29th or so?
It's the 29th of the first week, that's a Monday, and my trial will be that entire week, and I'll be defending myself, and it would be helpful if people would come down and by their presence support me, because judges do notice this, the press notices it, how many people come out to hear. Now, it's a work day, it's a school day, and it's difficult for people to come out and sit in court.
But still, it sounds to me that anybody who's interested in civil disobedience or who wants to save the environment or any cause has an interest in showing up to that courthouse, because if a private company can go to a judge, the judge issues an order, and then that same judge tries you but doesn't allow you to present a defense, really, that's not the way things work. We're supposed to have the police charge you under a law, and then you present your defense under the law, and everything goes that way. This sounds almost like a private law.
It is. It's a way in which, what it is government by injunction. When the NDP was in power, they had introduced a bill. It was called an anti-slap suit, which is the underlying civil suits by which these complaints get into court. And it would have helped our cause enormously if we had this anti-slap suit bill on the books, if it were a law. But the first thing the Liberals did when they came in, the Attorney General said that they would not be using this, they would use rule by injunction instead, and the Liberals wiped the anti-slap suit off the books. So we are with a very repressive government here who does not care about the environment, who cares only for development, private development, and it's a tough go. But you know something, Alex, I've lived long enough to know that things can change in a heartbeat, and that as long as people do follow their conscience and refuse to be intimidated and frightened by repressive legislation, that eventually things right themselves. I've seen it happen in my lifetime so many times during the civil rights movement, during the and been part of these movements where things righted themselves. The anti-war movement, anti-Vietnam War movement, of course, we're back, the Americans are back in the Iraq thing, but the women's movement, every rule, law, legislation we have on the books today that regulate human rights has to do with civil disobedience. And I think those of us who recognize this can feel proud of the human struggle to come out from underneath official tyranny. I'm proud of all of us, actually.
Well, I think you've got something to be proud of. We've been speaking with Betty Krosick, the author of Clackwit, The Sound of My Heart, also Lock Me Up or Let Me Go, and now a new online book available. It's called Open Living Confidential from Inside the Joint. You can find these things at www.booksofbettyk.com. And I really thank you for talking with Radio EcoShock today.
It's my pleasure, Alex.
Bye-bye.
Anytime. Bye.
So there you go, Betty Krosick, an inspiration for many young women activists, and perhaps a spur for older people to get involved in saving the environment. Just because you have a comfortable house or a pension doesn't mean you can let the world go to hell. And if you live in the Vancouver area, be sure to show up at the Vancouver Courthouse in the week starting January 29th, 2007, to support Betty Krosick in her efforts to defend common legal decency and the environment. Tune into the environment at www.ecoshock.org.